Colonel Hutchison, Real 12. We were talking about the situation when you'd gone to for a briefing at RHQ just outside Amiens. Yeah. Describing the scene as various German convoys and things congregated at Amiens. What's your call of this? What's the next thing you remember?
Well, the important thing was to see if we could get across the Somme and find an unblown bridge. We went downstream of Amiens, and B squadron, John Gilmore's squadron, found a small bridge, which was unblown, and so we all trailed on down and crossed behind him, and up the other side. And got involved in some scrapping up the other side.
Now, actually, before that, it says a platoon of fully armed Germans gave themselves up to Major Hutchison in his scout car. What was that?
Yes, well, that's what they were beginning to happen about them. But furthermore, what's much more important was that the wreckage troop captured the German 7th Army commander, I think. Anyway, quite a senior officer. His staff with him, they're all having breakfast down near the river. And the wreckage troop at that time was commanded by a yeoman sergeant. Can't remember who. Kind of character. Anyway, the staff protested and said, "You know, he's a general." He's a bug who he tell him to get up back on the top of my on the back of my tank. You see, drove him straight back to RHQ because he was quite a prize, this fellow. And rather surprised, I think, to be put in the bag in this rather humiliating way. Having
did you meet him while you were doing your visit?
I didn't know.
And what about this lot that surrendered to you? What happened there?
I can't remember. I think I can't. Honestly, can't. I remember. I remember the incident. But what I did, I don't know.
They didn't resist.
We weren't in a position to. I think we just told them to walk back. Yeah, we generally did.
They were just wanting to surrender to you. They weren't resisting.
Yes.
So you crossed the on the 31st. You followed B squadron across the Somme.
Yes.
And then the advance basically continued. I think.
Yes.
Would you all the way to Antwerp in a sense?
Well, more or less. I mean, little incidents here and there, little scraps.
What do you mean?
More or less, we advanced. And again, as the conditions were so propitious, at least one night before the night before we reached Antwerp, we advanced through the night. But again, I was not in the lead for that night. I was following on. But it worked all right and there wasn't any problem.
Do you remember any of the problems that you had on during the advance, or was it not your squadron that had them as you weren't in the lead?
No. As I say, we weren't in the lead during that night advance either. And so we were just kind of following on, in my case.
Now, you reached Antwerp on right about the 3rd of September. Did you mind this fact that you weren't allowed to go into Brussels? Not then, anyway. It was left to the Guards Armour Division. Was there any controversy about that? Or
no, we were disappointed. We thought that we ought to be allowed to have the prize of Brussels. And so we were just faintly jealous of the Guards Division having been given that, and went to Antwerp. We didn't actually go in. The 3rd Tanks were the people who moved into the, went into the city that day. And we stayed outside to the south. But again, a local Belgian, the main bridge over a canal south of the city had been blown, but he was aware of another bridge not very far away, and so guided the third tanks over, and so they got into the city with great ease. There was a certain amount of soldiery about, but there wasn't much fighting in the city itself. What the Germans did was to stop us getting out of the city to the north over the, over that canal. And having spent a few days in and around Antwerp, we tried to get, we went through the city and tried to get out the other side and across this canal, but the bridges were all burned, and so they didn't pursue that matter further. And instead of going north into Holland from there, we came out and continued operating towards the east and went through Louvain and then across the Albert Canal, is it?
Yes.
Into the south part of Belgium, where we started to get involved in a bit more action again. The Germans rather more doing delaying action, I think. But it was quite a bit of a minor incident.
There's one thing, it says that Samson set fire to his tank again, or nearly did, and there was actually a casualty this time. What was he doing something wrong, or what was happening here? Cause
I'm not going to suggest it was self-inflicted.
No, not that it was deliberate, but was it carelessness on the part of a member of his crew, or what was going, did you find out what was going on?
No, I don't remember whether we found out or found out.
You went towards, I can't pronounce these names, Helkturen.
Helston, yes.
And Hektel.
Yes.
And there was some action on the 10th of September in north of Helkturen. When, I wondered if you recall that. Against some infantry dug into various positions.
Yes.
So what was it about that? What happened there?
Well, we had to do a sort of right flank operation to clear. He was around there. And there was quite a lot of infantry that dug in. I mean, we cleared them all out without undue trouble. But unfortunately, I think was probably hanging out of the top of these tank again, you know, and got wounded. And that was the last we saw of him, I think. But then he ever came back.
I think the next thing that you mainly remember is the operations at the bridge at Aston, the attack on the 26th.
Very well, yes.
I wonder if you could talk about that. Firstly, there seems to be some question about whether the bridge shouldn't have been secured before, in other words, they had to, because the bridge that they crossed was an engineer's bridge. In what circumstances had the original bridge been destroyed? Were you aware of that?
Oh, part of the German defence of that canal, I assume. And we found that out the day before when we reached there.
Was it blown when your first tanks got there, or was it?
No. It had been blown the day before anyway. No. We knew it had been blown, and so I think that there was. But I imagine the infantry had got a tiny little a bridgehead, which enabled the engineers to build the bridge during the night. And we weren't supposed to cross at first light, and we were going to be the leading squadron, A squadron. And whether it was a delay in getting things through or not, I don't know. It was a little bit later than that, probably about 7 in the morning or something like that, that we actually advanced across the bridge and out of the bridgehead. From the bridge, these were small warehouses, I think. They slightly concealed the bridge, which was probably a help from the point of view of getting it rebuilt. But it was, I suppose it was a, I don't know, it was an engineer's bridge anyway. And then there was very flat, wettish ground between there and the village, which was a few hundred yards away, Aston. And the road, I remember, quite soon after you debouched from the buildings, there was a dog leg to the right. But then it went more or less straight in towards the village. And the idea was that the first troop would go straight through the drive flat out, just firing their guns as they went, and hope to God they'd get through all right. And they were to go straight through the village out the other side and then stop and try to prevent anyone coming back into it to see where they got that far. And that was what Don Bullitt was supposed to do. Then Steele was next, and he was going to go up to the, go into the village and up to the left. And then I followed, and I was going to go out beyond to join Bully. And then the other troop was to go to the right, out of the village, and again to stop people getting coming back in, assuming we were successful. Bully was fired on.
Now, hang on. Now, so behind you would become B Squadron and the KSLIs.
Yes, they were going to do a more deliberate operation of clearing. We knew there were infantry between the river, between the canal and the town. They were dug in there. We knew that. But we were told, you see, just to drive as fast as we could through this open country, and just firing anything we could and banging hand grenades out the turrets.
And the officers were going to lead the troops.
Yes, yes. So I said that officers should lead the troops. So Bully was leading his troop.
Now, the first bit was the road to the bridge, and did Bully get hit? He got across the bridge.
Oh, he got across the bridge. It was when he got just beyond this dog leg or thereabouts that he got hit. But he pulled his tank off the road so that it didn't block the road, fortunately.
He did that deliberately?
Yes, I think so.
And what was he hit by, or was it a mine? Because in your notes it's a mine.
It might well have been. It probably was a mine. I don't know. Anyway, did not block the road. But then the next tank, got knocked out too, I think.
It says,
I think that must have been just two tanks in Bully's troop. But McMahon didn't block the road either. So Steele then found himself in the lead. And he went on flat out. He got hit by a bazooka. And he said, not penetrated, but the tracks were damaged in some way, but it didn't prevent him from getting on. And he got through into the village. And then I was immediately behind him. was with me. They all sorted out that transport number. Anyway, we had to then do bully job and go straight through the village, which we did.
Well, what were you doing as you went through? Were you throwing grenades out?
Yeah, I had hand grenades. So Father's Tom Dines was feeding me hand grenades, or Perry was it, and I was banging them out the top. But I don't think...
Were you using...
The Germans, for the most part, were between the canal and the village, more than in the village itself. Because we got through and out the other side without difficulty once we got past where the German infantry were dug in.
Were you using your main armament and the machine guns as well as you charged?
Machine guns were firing, yes.
But not the main armament?
No. Well, it's coaxially mounted, the machine gun. And I imagine they were firing the one in the... next to the driver too, you know, just spraying around and help to keep people's heads down. We got through the village then without further incident. But then this the wretched scout car, I think we really ought to have left the scout car behind. But,
that was part of the headquarters troop, was it? The scout
part of the headquarters troop, yes. So I would put it sort of followed on behind me. And anyway, they got ditched. The two of the crew lay doggo and still. And a German came up and... just to see whether they were alive. I thought they were dead. However, when he walked away, they threw a hand grenade on after him and killed him apparently. And they got away with it. But and Bully defended himself as nobly as he could.
Now, Bully was... Because where Bully's tank had been hit, that was effectively amongst the German infantry then.
Yes,
between the between the buildings.
And he was off trying to use his pistol against them, and he was killed.
What about the rest of his crew?
But the others...
Sergeant McMahon seems to have been killed as well. Was that the same thing?
I think those killed and wounded were the crews of those two tanks. I'm not aware we had any other casualties.
And what happened once you got through the village? B squadron, I presume, came through with the infantry.
Well, we effectively... I can't remember whether anybody seriously tried to get back into the village from the other side, but we effectively stopped them if they did. I can remember having shooting at some ordnance, guns and stuff beyond, but we didn't. Have undue trouble in, you know, controlling the situation. Meantime, B Squadron and the KSLI took quite a time clearing up these Germans. I think they were paratroopers. They were quite classy soldiers, anyway.
But they were successful.
Yes, they were successful. Eventually. And then we went on.
It seems you moved on towards Dern.
Dern, yes. Dern. We're getting quite close now to what was the Arnhem operation called? Market Garden, wasn't it? But before then, we'd got out as far as the Meuse, the Maas, as they call it, in Holland. Couldn't get across it. We didn't try to get across it, I don't think. You see, Germans were holding, I think they'd burned the bridges, but they weren't letting us across the Maas. But that's about where we were when Market Garden, which was the Guards Armour Division's operation, started. We were just messing around in that area to the east of where they started, between there and the Maas, until the thing was called off. And then, soon after that, we started, you know, this period of comparatively static warfare.
And which area was that? Where were you for the study?
They call that this fen country down in the south of Holland the Pale. And it's just like the fens. Hopeless tank country, very soft. And everyone liable to get tanks bogged with the greatest fees. We came to a sort of reached a sort of static situation around a village which I think was called Boylan.
And this was in the Pale area?
In the Pale area, yes.
And what exactly were you doing, your squadron doing?
What happened was that you take turns in one squadron being up in Boylan and very close to the Germans. And the other two squadrons are back in reserve in more and occupying billets. Almost reasonably comfortable. But I think there's a certain amount of leaves were taken then, and you take turns going up to the Boylan area. The trouble was, I don't think there was any point in advancing further at that stage, because it was all this Pale country right up to the Maas. And this went on for really quite a long time.
Yeah, it seemed to have, the regiment was back at Usselstein and then forward and
yes.
Doing duty at Voilen.
Yes, you took turns in going through, yes.
And anything else about this period? You got some new officers, one of them being Tom Heald. What were your impressions of him?
Tom Heald was splendid. Minster Chapel. Good fun. And Tom Heald came then, did he? Yes.
In that period?
At the end of the war. And then had a distinguished legal career. Came to have lunch here last year with his wife.
Was it
first time I'd seen him?
Was he a good young officer then?
Oh, yes. And there was another very good young officer who came about that time called Tony Porter.
What was he like?
I was a good looking boy. And he's a nice chap. His family had a small engineering business, I think, in Hull. And that's where he came from. He was a nice Yorkshire accent, Tony. He was good. And both Tony and Tom Heald were with us until the end of the war.
And another one, Lieutenant McNamara.
Don't remember much about him.
And Wilkes.
And Wilkes. I don't remember much about him either. I don't think Wilkes was, with us for very long.
Anything about this period? It's pretty hopeless tank territory, from what you
Absolutely.
Said. And this is going on from right through October and into November, from the looks of this. So not a productive period, as far as you were concerned.
It's static. We were only doing a sort of infantry job, and it was getting I suppose, you see, there must have been great disappointment when Market Garden failed. And I think all the concentration then was opening up and getting into Germany further south on a broad front, which didn't apply to us in Holland. But they did capture Aachen, didn't they, I think, about that sort of time, the Americans. And they moved through the Ardennes and Luxembourg and so on. And they were sort of closing up with the German frontier and getting into little bits of Germany too, I think, at Aachen, for instance. And it was about all about then. And that went on, and with winter drawing on, and wet weather and so on, things were beginning to slow up, if not to grind to a halt.
Now, the leave, did you go on leave? They seem to have had a period at Helmand, but people were also sent back to Brussels and Antwerp.
Yes. I got a sort of 2 days in Brussels at some stage.
What was that like?
It was all right. Rather fun, I can't remember what one did. The sort of office club wasn't for long.
And then there was a period in, you moved back right out at the start of December, 1st of December. There's nothing else before that you recall in particular.
No, we started, we heard that we were going to be equipped with a new British tank. I can't remember when we heard, but it must have been early December. And that we were going to be pulled out altogether, and another armoured brigade, an independent armoured brigade, were coming in to act for us. Whilst we went back to Ypres to re-equip with this new tank. And that's what we did sometime during December, about the middle of the month, I think. And we dropped off our tanks in a sort of spare tank park in or near Brussels. So, did we hang on to our 17-pounders? I have a feeling did say there that we did.
It doesn't say, but I think you might well have done. Yes, because I think, but. It says except for 17 pounders, so yes, that would be the case.
That's right, we went back, and then these new tanks called Comets started to start up as they were coming off production lines, and they had a 77 millimeter gun.